Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
There is actual hockey news on Monday, May 18th during the pandemic. The headline, NHL looking at 8 to 9 sites as options to restart season, that coming from the mouth of the commissioner, Gary Bettman. We have some actual news to talk about today. Nick Kotsenika from NHL.com joins us. I'm Rob Carlin. The Capitals Talk podcast starts now.
His spectacular history-making continues. 700.
It's not a desert mirage. It's Lord Stanley, and he is coming to Washington.
What's up, Caps fans? It is actually time for another Caps Talk podcast, and we are talking about news and possibly returning to the ice. It's not definite. It's far from definite, but it's something. The commissioner participated in what is known as a digital keynote interview with Leaders Week. That's a sports business conference, which was originally scheduled to be held in New York, so he would have been doing that in person. Instead, they did it more of a conference call. And Nick Kotsenika, who works for the NHL.com, was able to listen in. And obviously, Gary Bettman is talking a lot about the return, how it could possibly happen, what it could possibly look like. And keep in mind, and I'm going to refer to this throughout the interview and discussion with Nick, is this was not open to media. No one got chances to ask questions. This was a conversation, again, something called Leaders Week for sports business. So this isn't, you know, we all have all these questions. We all have 100 different things that we've been waiting to ask the commissioner if we'd ever get a chance. This was not that type of forum, but it was a chance for him to discuss the latest machinations of how they could potentially return, where it would be, and how they would try to do it. As you'll hear from Nick, though, a ton of moving parts. Nothing is at all close to an actual plan in place to return. I don't think sports at all is close to that. So keep that in mind as you listen. There are some interesting nuggets here, but we got a long ways to go on this. So here's my conversation now with Nick Kotsenika from NHL.com. So Nick, in reading the quotes from Gary Bettman today, it's hard to really pick out a tone because he sounded hopeful. They sound like they want to get something done, but they're also hesitant to commit to anything because no one can commit to anything right now. What was the overall sense you got from listening to the commissioner?
Well, there's a lot of uncertainty in the short term. I don't think that's changed, but there's hope that the NHL is going to be able to finish this season in some form or fashion. And there's hope for the long term that sports are going to be fine. I think those are the overriding themes. I think he feels that eventually, once it's safe, fans are going to come back and fill arenas again, and sports will bounce back, and sports will be a healing thing for people as it has been in the past. But in the interim, they've got a lot of logistical issues to figure out how to finish this season, and they want to do that.
So the headline in your story is they're looking at 8 or 9 cities now. So clear that up, because they're considering 8 or 9 cities to be the 1 or 2 hubs, or are they still thinking about possibly 4? Are they even expanding on that?
Well, the commissioner was not specific about the number of pods or hubs or however you want to term it. I would say centralized locations. I think he intimated that it could be 2 because he said you're looking at sites that could house, you know, a dozen or so teams. But I think that's uncertain too. I think what they're looking at here is they're down to 8 or 9 places where they feel they could have as many as a dozen teams, if that makes sense. So if you went with two centralized locations that could have a dozen teams, well, then you could have three or four or whatever you decide to have. I think you need some flexibility there because this is a moving target, right? So the coronavirus has been different in different places, the level of infection, the testing capability. So you have to have some flexibility. You can't put all your eggs in one basket, say, you know, city X, it becomes a hotspot and then you're in trouble, right? So you have to have lots of different contingencies. I think what you're looking for is an NHL city that has an NHL arena, not for the seats, but for all the back of house types of things, like the medical facilities, the training facilities, multiple locker rooms, because if you're going to have multiple games a day, you're going to need to sanitize the dressing room in between. And then you're going to need a community that has a low rate of infection and that has plenty of testing capability. One thing that the commissioner and the deputy commissioner have been very clear on is they're going to need frequent testing, and they cannot do that at the expense of the medical community. They don't want pro athletes taking tests from people who need them. So that's a very important consideration as well.
But the testing has to be an outrageous number, because they're not only going to have to test all the players and all the help staff from around each team. I mean, you got to be thinking about testing the Uber drivers, the bus drivers, the people that make the beds, that cook the foods. I know the president was on NBC on the golf coverage Sunday with Mike Tirico, and he said, you know, how do you administer tests when not giving clear benefits to athletes? Do they have any, you know, understanding or reasoning on how that, because I have to imagine they have to be tested fairly often. And if you're a team that goes on a Stanley Cup run, these players could be over there for 3 months.
Well, you're asking good questions that I don't have all the answers to. What I can tell you is they know a lot more than I do in the NHL office. These are questions they're actively thinking about. What I can tell you is what they've said. And Bill Daly has said that frequent testing, you know, has to be a pillar of whatever they do. Both he and Bettman have said they can't take tests from the medical community. What raised my eyebrows today was the quote from the commissioner where he said, I have been told that there will be capability and there should be more capability over the next couple months. So however the situation looks today, it may look different in a month or two. But the bottom line is they've made clear that the NHL will not come back if that condition isn't met. So if they cannot test the people they need to test, they can't play.
Is there, or did they mention anything about potentially if someone does test positive? Because I think even in the Bundesliga, it came back this weekend, there was one team where a player and maybe two staff had a positive test. So if, and I think it became because someone went out to like buy a tube of toothpaste and all of a sudden got it. So what happens if, and if there has to be some sort of a quarantine? I think I read one quote where Bill Daly said they wouldn't have to quarantine an entire team if one player gets tested. What did you hear about that?
Well, again, a good question I don't have an answer to. I mean, you have the answer from Bill Daly, and that's about the best I can give you. I mean, all I can tell you is that it's something they're talking about. What if this? What if that? And I think you've got to be careful not to paint yourself into a corner and say something that, you know, the situation changes. I think this is all fluid. This is all new to everybody. They're very sensitive to all these issues, and they've got to work that out. And they have the return to play committee with the NHL and the NHLPA. It's executives and players, and they're going over all this stuff. It's a difficult situation because there are so many moving parts, so many hypotheticals, and I don't think anybody really knows the answer.
They've been very determined to get back and play this season in one way, shape, or form, whether it's some regular season games, straight to the playoffs, how many teams. Did you get a sense at all that they'd be prepared if worst case scenario they can't? Have they discussed that, or are they still, we are going to keep moving forward? It's easy for the NFL to plan for September. There's zero pressure. Do you get any sense that they're maybe getting closer to saying this might be tougher than we could even pull off?
Not yet. I think everybody's aware that there will come a time, you know, if you get too late in the summer that you might have to do that. But I mean, it's still May. The commissioner made it very clear they want to play. They want to find a way to finish this season. He believes the fans want that. The players want that. And they have flexibility in terms of the schedule. They can play in the summer. They can delay the start of next season while still planning on an 82-game season. So you could have training camps. And again, this is my hypothetical. You could have training camps open in July. You could play, you know, in or have camps open in June, say, or July. Have them play in August, September. And then you don't start next season until December, right? And then what you do is you compress the schedule. You take out the five-day mandatory break. You take out the All-Star game. And you play an 82-game season and you finish later next year than you want to. But at least you get in a full season if all goes well. That's where we're at right now. That's what they're working toward. If they have to change that plan, they'll have to change it.
Obviously, this is a conference that wasn't open to the media. This wasn't for NHL writers. So you're not getting the questions that maybe, you know, he would have gotten if that were the case. But did you get a sense at all that were they talking at all about where the players union is on all of this? Because we've seen baseball players come out with their hesitancy. Did they talk at all about where the players are on all this?
Not a lot. I mean, the commissioner did talk about that it's been a very collaborative process. The NHL is an interesting situation because the CBA, they split revenues 50-50. So they're in this together. They have aligned goals here as a league and as a union. That's why they have the return to play committee as well, to work hand in hand. Anything the NHL does, they're consulting with the NHLPA and they're going back and forth. Now, that doesn't mean that every single player feels the same way or every single team feels the same way. I mean, there's lots of differences of opinion within those two organizations. But I think at the end of the day, look, they both want to play. I mean, everybody here is losing money. Even if the NHL comes back to play without fans, the NHL is going to lose money. The players are going to lose money. It's a matter of how much. And frankly, there's a lot of other people whose livelihoods are at stake as well. From office workers to arena workers, all the support staff. I mean, there are a lot of people, myself included, who make their living based off of the NHL. So it's not as simple as billionaires and millionaires. It's there's a lot of people who care about this. So it's a delicate situation that affects a lot of people.
Again, I want to remind people that this wasn't open necessarily to the media. So a lot of these questions, I feel bad if I'm putting you on the spot or asking you something that wasn't asked or wasn't addressed and you didn't have a chance to do that. But this sport's also different because a lot of players in this sport went back home to Europe and now have to come back into the States, or maybe even tougher, if one of those cities, and I imagine they're going to want to have a Canadian city host, be at least one spot. There's the 14-day quarantine of getting into Canada and what happens if players have to come out. There was someone I think I just heard that said, oh, it was Mike Trout in baseball, who's like, my wife's pregnant. I'm not missing the birth of my first child. So what happens? Did they talk about how players come back over from Europe and what they're going to do as far as keeping Canada involved? Or, to anyone in America, having a league entirely in America seems like a no-brainer. But for this, you need Canada involved. You want to have a Canadian city. Was there anything talked about that?
Not in great detail, but there was an interesting number that Bettman used. And he said 17% of players are outside of North America right now. So that's 17% of your workforce, your players, who would have to come back either to the United States or Canada. There are border issues, there are quarantine issues. And then you have the rest of your players are spread out around North America. So if you have players in the States, you have to go to Canada and vice versa, you have the same issue. So that's another issue that they have to work out. So you got to bring them over here, they have to quarantine for X period, you have to get them through the border. This is what I mean by lots of moving parts. And that what makes this an extremely difficult situation. Now, you're right. I didn't get to ask questions. Nobody else did either. So I have a ton of questions just like you do. But that's what I'm referring to. And I'm not sure they could answer them, right? So it's step by step. First, you have to get the players to reconvene. So you're going to have to get the European players over here. You have to get people in North America to move to where they need to move. Then you need to open team facilities to have small group workouts and training. That can't be done everywhere right now, depending on, where the orders are, because every market's different. You know, all these local governments have their own mandates. After that, you're going to have a training camp. And based on past interviews with Bettman and Daly, you're looking at about 3 weeks because you have two health issues here. You have COVID-19, which you want to be sure that nobody in the NHL community gets it and then nobody passes it on beyond the NHL community. And then B, they have to be in game shape. Like, they've been sitting around. They haven't been able to skate for the most part for, what, 2 months now? So they have to be – yeah, they have to be in shape to play. You don't want to create injury risk there. So you're looking at 3 weeks there. And then I know players want to play regular season games before they play playoff games. I don't know if that's feasible with the schedule. So there's a lot of moving parts here. And I, you know, you went back to what do they want to do? Well, the fact that they're willing to even talk about all this tells you how important it is that they want to play and they want to award the cup. But there are a lot of hoops to jump through before we're going to get there.
In just going over what you just went over, and you know, me and you have been around the game for a long time now. We have tons of questions that we want to ask, and there's probably 100 things that we've never even considered, right? Because we're not on the inner workings. Did he talk about at all how much, sounds so stupid to ask, but how much work has gone into the what-if scenarios? Because, like, the amount of preparation, and all of it could be for nothing, because they could have 600 plans. Only one's going to actually work.
That's right.
How have they been dealing with this on a day-to-day?
It's been 2 months of it. I mean, it's been since March 12th, and I've been following it as best I can, but it's been constant work. And because of that, what you just said, like, you don't know. It's a fluid situation with lots of moving parts, lots of different jurisdictions that with different rules. And then you might start and some place might become a hot spot. You don't know, right? So what you have to do is plan for all these contingencies. You have plans A through Z and maybe beyond that, so that when the time comes, you're able to execute on whichever plan makes sense. So maybe it's plan K, maybe it's plan R, I don't know, but you have to be ready because when the time comes, and if you want to play a season, you're gonna have to act. I also think that's why it makes the most sense to play in NHL arenas, right? These are arenas, facilities that everyone's familiar with, have all the infrastructure that you need to play. That's why it doesn't make sense to go to some neutral site like a college arena or some small town in the middle of nowhere, right? Like, I think it makes sense to play in an NHL city that has NHL facilities, has hotels, someplace that's sort of a built-in infrastructure that everybody knows what to do so that you can execute quickly if you're able to.
Yeah, TJ Oshie, I think, got really excited when there's that, you know, quick flirtation with North Dakota as being a site, and then we all realize, well, there's just no way.
Like, well, it's romantic, right? Like, I kind of thought about it. I thought it would be kind of cool. Like, it would be different. And, you know, the NHL, it's funny. There is a traveling infrastructure for outdoor games, right? Like, they have – it's amazing what it takes to put on an NHL game. People have no idea behind the scenes all the little things you need. You can't just have an ice rink, like a sheet of ice and some boards and glass and play. Like, all the little things for, like, instant replay, for medical,
right?
Or, you know, like, it goes on and on, media facilities. So there is a playbook for that, and it's the outdoor playbook. So it wasn't, like, unheard of for them to consider it, but they did. And this goes to your point, too. They looked into it. It's not like they did. They looked into it. They crunched the numbers. It didn't make sense. Like, you want to know also what you don't want to do, right? Like, you want to go through the mental exercise of, what if we did this, right? And now we don't want to do that for these reasons. And it's the same for formats. Like, I can't give you, you know, solid information on what format it's going to be, but I can tell you they've considered all kinds of different things. I mean, Bettman said it today. Everything from finishing the regular season to having an abbreviated finish to the regular season to going straight to the playoffs, what format playoffs. So there's tons of things. And look, all we have to do right now is time. So you might as well plan and go through all your mental exercises and hope that one of them comes to fruition and it's not the cancellation one.
And it's funny because, you know, people ask me all the time, when's it coming back? Is it coming back? And I'm like, I don't know. I can't give it for all the things. I don't know. There's 700 things that need to, you know, be addressed. And every day those 700 things change. But even like a thing, you know, little to other people, huge to people like me and you whose livelihoods depend on it. But we always get the first round of the playoffs, right? The local TV broadcasts get the rights to the first round of the playoffs.
So now we're starting to think, what? Wait a second. If we're redoing the playoffs and we're only going to be like, you know, maybe one world feed that provides it for everyone, who's calling those games? Are we losing out on our first round? So, like, again, they're addressing the 900 things to just get the game played, but then every TV market's going to have questions. People don't realize how many layers this you have to get to, like you said, to just put on a game. It's not, look, the NBA has a tough job too, but it's not like roll a ball out there and get five guys on the side and go. There's a lot to this.
Yeah, and that's extremely important, though. It doesn't mean that's not an important consideration. Of course, look, it's a business. It's money. But, like, look at what – like, take a step back and think of what we're talking about here. We're talking about doing all this stuff to play games without fans, without tickets, without beers, without hot dogs, without pizza, all that stuff, right? Like, that's what pays the bills, right?
So think about it. If you've gone to a game or your friends have gone to a game, then you're dropping $100 easy. You're getting two beers and something. You're dropping $100.
Right. But to think they're going to come back to some windfall in the short term is not reality. They're coming back to for the integrity of the game, believe it or not. Like, believe it or not, there is a genuine integrity of the game here. They want to play the season. They want to award the cup in a way that has integrity. It's history. It's important. It's what we all play for. It's what we're all in what we do. From a business standpoint, it's to lose less money. Like, they're going to lose money. They're not going to make a killing by coming back. So, but, you know, I think I'm like you. I think from a media standpoint, like, am I going to be there? Like, what do I love to do? Why do I do what I do? I love to be there. I love to tell stories. I love to tell stories that no one else can. I get that by going in the dressing room. That's probably not going to happen, right? So I may be watching it on TV, writing from home based on Zoom call. That may be what happens. But you know what? Like I'm not going to cry about that. Like, we all have to adjust and do what we have to do, right? Like, if I have a job, I consider myself extremely fortunate right now. So the bottom line here, from teams to players to broadcasters to media to fans, none of this is perfect. None of this is what we want. Not everyone's going to be happy, but you have to make the best of a bad situation, and that's what they're going to try to do.
One last thing here for you, and again, this is not what I brought you on for, so I apologize, but it's more so of your personal take on it than maybe even any reporting you've done on it, but the draft situation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's the thought that they could have it at the beginning of June and then maybe at some point in June. And it is weird to have a draft, obviously, before a season ends. But the one thing, as I've thought about it more and heard people talk about it more, is that's prime trade time.
Yeah.
How do you potentially move a guy with a year left on his contract for draft picks? I mean, I think they're right in wanting sort of some stage to hold this draft where you're not going to be inundated when all sports do return. Mm-hmm. But if I'm a GM, you know, I've made plans for a guy I might want to move at the deadline.
Yeah.
How do I do that? And what happens if we come back?
Just what I just said, it's nothing's perfect here, right? Like, it's not perfect. It's not what the NHL wanted to do, right? It's crazy to think that, but it's what do you do with the situation at hand, right? And as a hardcore hockey guy, I don't like it, right? The season's not over. So what, you know, you want the season to be over to determine the draft order. There's conditional picks. There are trades to be made. All this stuff that happens around the draft. As a content person, you know, who thinks with a bigger picture that this is an entertainment business at the end of the day, I think it's a fantastic opportunity if they were able to pull it off, because I don't think the NHL draft is like the NFL draft. I don't think it's going to draw the eyeballs. Like, let's be realistic here. Okay. But it is something that would be real and tangible that we can talk about and can do. There's also a practical hockey matter of getting some players out of Europe that they have to consider that might make it easier for that. So there's definitely arguments on either side. I think if we had a draft to look forward to in June and that led into the resumption of the season, from a content standpoint, I think it'd be great. We'd be talking hockey. It would be real talk instead of, hey, what are the, you know, 16 best coaches since 1967, which we've been doing and it's been fun, but, you know, it'd be something we could, you know, tangibly discuss. Right.
We're not running a team. If I had a deal a bad contract or something, I would be like, what do you
of how course. Yes. You know? Now look, let's go through it. Let's say we did that and look, yeah, the draft isn't the usual time to do that. There's still gonna be an off season. So even if you had a draft in June and then you resume the season, then you had playoffs, there's still gonna be a 6 week off season probably before the next season. I'm sure there'd be still a window to make trades.
All right. Yeah. I mean, like you said, we keep coming back. None of this is ideal. We don't want to do this in any way, shape, or form. We're dealing with what we have. No. Nick, I appreciate the time. Yeah, no problem. I appreciate the time. And hopefully we're back talking hockey sooner rather than later.
Sounds good. Thank you.
So there it is. You probably have more questions now, just like I do. Nothing has been decided, far from it, but he was talking about a possible return. And look, this is important to them. You heard Nick just say, I mean, this is big business. This is people's happiness, you know, rides on their team's success. Everyone wants sports to come back. We just don't know how to do it. And they're working on 100 different plans, probably more than that, hundreds of different plans on how to get this done. He also said what he's been saying all along since this pause started. This is Commissioner Bettman, a quote in Nick Katsunika's column on NHL.com. We'd like to complete the season. We'd like to award the Stanley Cup, the most treasured trophy and the most historic trophy in all of sports. And our fans are telling us overwhelmingly that's what they'd like us to do because people have an emotional investment in this season already. They want to get this done. They just have to do it the smartest way possible, limit the risks as much as they possibly can. Is that possible? We still don't know yet, but they are trying in every way to finish off this season. I appreciate Nick taking some time out after listening in on that to give us the very latest as we continue to pause and wait and see if the NHL does ever return. So thanks again to Nick Katsunika. I'm Rob Carlin. We'll talk again soon.